God's man for an hour. Starting good already. Thank you. My sister said to me, because I really didn't tell anybody that I was preaching this week, and there was a reason. The last time I preached, actually, you know, God gave me something, really put something on my heart, and I spoke to the pastor about it, and this time wasn't the case. Pastor actually approached me and says, "Hey, you're up on the 24th." So I was about 6 days out, and I said, "You know what? This is a challenge. It's something that I got to prepare for." And I knew about the church anniversary and the church and everything. But I had to go with what God was putting on my heart.
Amen.
And I don't like to listen to any outside influences, like some folks will listen to a sermon about how somebody's preaching something or how something's taught. I don't like to do that because I'm not saying that's wrong, but what I am saying is I like to give what God has given me. And I want to keep it between him and me as far as that goes. I didn't even tell my wife what I was preaching on. It's nothing like top secret this or that, but that's how I want it to be. If I'm supposed to be doing this, we're going to find out. It's that simple. I'm glad to see my mom today because she's actually in here. I didn't tell my sister that I was preaching today. That's the first thing she says to me after Sunday school. "You told me you were preaching today." Well, because I thought it was going to be a clunker. So I didn't want to embarrass my family, honestly. So I had to give what God was giving me, and I wasn't real confident in, like I said, new waters being crossed here with, "Hey, guess what? You're up on the 24th. Okay? So if you would stand with me, we're going to be in just two verses today. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. I actually have this little Bible, and it's all rickety and the cover's missing and stuff like that. This Bible actually was in a house on the east side of Youngstown for close to 100 years, because that's where my family's from. My mom lived on Council Rock. And my dad lived on Jackson Street.
Right.
And my dad, wasn't he born in the house on Jackson Street? Yeah. It's not funny, Elmer. That's how they did it back then. But this Bible is from the early 1900s, which I'm not real sure how many times it was opened, but I love it. It's a rickety little King James, and it took me a little while to defect to the King James, but there's a reason, because it's the true Word of God.
Amen.
Matthew 16, 24 and 25. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given me, Father. I pray, Lord, that I will not get in the way of what you have to say today, Father. I thank you for my brothers and sisters at Christian Bible Baptist, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the fellowship. I thank you for the Word of God that's been being preached here and being taught, Father God, that's changing and strengthening the spirit of God's people. Father, I pray that this word will go out into the streets of Youngstown, throughout the world, Father God. The true Word of God. Strengthen your people of the things to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm scared to death, so if I had some milk and some chocolate syrup in it, it would be chocolate milk real quick. This water don't show how bad I'm shaking, but I used to do some really stupid stuff as a kid. And that's why I'm glad my mom's here. And you'll see her nodding her head yes. And sometimes it was because I followed the folks that I was with.
Amen.
Sometimes. I can remember my mom saying to me, and I know a lot of you probably heard this too, especially Vernon's mom, if your friend jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off too? And then she'd tell me about how she don't want me hanging around with these guys and how they're trouble and I'm going to end up in trouble and all this other stuff. And then I would list all the quality things about these people to her from my side of it. And you know, 70% of it was lies. But why did I do this? Why would I stick up for these guys? Why? It was because I like these guys. I like these guys. I would often compromise the right things that I was taught for the wrong things to stay cool in their eyes. Two of the guys in that particular crew that are in my mind, they've actually been in and out of prison their whole lives. Now, I'm not just saying that my mom was right. But what I am saying, because she was, but what I am saying is that sometimes we follow things that are leading us to trouble. And we don't even know it. We can't see it because we're blinded by what we actually want. Or what our flesh actually wants. And I know it's hard to accept correction. Everybody has that trouble. You know, we've been reading a certain translation of the Bible all our lives, not all my life, but we've been reading certain translation or reading this guy's book or this lady's book, and somebody comes along and shows you with correct teaching and preaching out of the King James, for instance, that there's some error in those things that we were taught and that we believe. And that we continue to believe. Well, hey, you know, this translation of the Bible was taken from the earliest manuscripts. I hear that a lot. So let's just say 100 years ago, somebody wrote a book on why it's important to stop at stop signs. But 50 years before that, somebody wrote a book of why it's not important to stop at stop signs. Which one's right? Which book is right? When Jesus started his ministry on earth, he was confronted by all the new material that was added to the law by the Jews. Hey, it was written before you started your ministry, Jesus. So it must be right. The fact is, it doesn't matter how old it is if it's not correct. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that the junk that they carry around is right because it's from the very earliest manuscripts. Well, they're wrong. They're wrong and they're headed to the LOF. And if Mike was in here, he'd tell you the lake of fire. And I'm not going down the Jehovah road. So when Jesus came on the scene, there were some things that were already written by the Jews. And he was there to change them. And that brings to mind Brother Dave Bryant, who's not in here right now. When he was speaking, when we did the seven sayings of the cross, and he talked about the water. It's on sermon audio, and you should listen to it if you haven't. All the seven brothers came up here and talked about the last seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And Dave mentioned how water, Jesus was like a flood water that was changing everything in his path. And that really stuck with me. So Jesus was here to change him. And how did the Jews react to that? If we were to take today's view of Christianity, their reaction would have been something like this. hey, wait a minute, Jesus. We've been doing this for like 400 years now. And we'll change and we'll follow you, I guess, you know, and do it the right way now. Hey, no problem. And thank you for showing us the right way and pointing out that we were wrong all this time. We really appreciate that. And we all lived our best life now. Happily ever after. Amen? That's today. So in the text of Matthew 16, 24, 25, Jesus does not say, if only the elect man would pick up his cross. No. No. He says, if any man, any man, will put Jesus first, deny his own will, come after Jesus, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Hey, right here, he's telling these guys that this path that I'm lighting for you ain't going to be easy to travel.
Amen.
Make no mistake, these guys knew what he was saying by using the cross. They've definitely seen and heard. So where did the crucifixion come from? The Romans got the idea from the ancient Persians, and Alexander the Great introduced the idea to the Greek Empire, who only used it on the pirates and the worst criminals. The Romans, however, they perfected this method of torturous execution. So I don't want to say they got it right, but they knew what they were doing. Now, going back to Matthew, they were probably, these guys, this was probably confusing to the 12, right? Because the only persecution that they endured up to this time were the questions from Pharisees and religious rulers. Right? There hasn't been any physical confrontations or attacks yet. Just like right now in the good old U.S. of A. Everything's good now. We're sitting on our sixth Friday in a row. Let me tell you something. And I'm talking to the believers here. I'll tell you later, Deacon. He asked me about the sixth Friday. We'll find out who we're committed to as soon as someone's wig gets split for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's coming. Oh, it's coming. The young folks have an extremely horrible road ahead of them. And I urge you, please, if you have young ones, and I don't see too many of them in here, please tell them, pay attention on Wednesday night. Leave your cell phone at home. Amen. Pay attention on Wednesday night. Pay attention on Sunday morning. Pay attention during the service. Amen. Cry out to be saved if you're not, before it's too late. Pay attention on Wednesday night. Missing opportunities. So with thousands of folks following daily, the apostles, they were doing some miracles too. And they were doing some great things. But they were part of this traveling show.
Amen. Sure.
They didn't really understand what they were signing up for or what persecution that they were about to get into. Now on Wednesday night, Pastor's going through Mark chapter 10. Now the sons of thunder came up and said, hey Jesus, you know, I want to sit at your right hand, I want to sit at your left hand, right? Yeah. Now I'm paraphrasing, it's Mark chapter 10 verses 38 and 39. I'm going to read just those verses, what Jesus said. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, all shall ye be baptized. He was letting them know the storm's coming. The storm's coming. It's coming for us too. Boys, you better toughen up, because following Jesus ain't going to be no picnic with five loaves and two fish no more. You're going to drink from that cup, but it ain't Welch's grape juice. That cup is full of trials and tribulations, scourgings and death. For my sake, Jesus said. I want to touch on what Paul said, because I was just wondering how we don't talk about trials and tribulations. I don't know how a church can't. I can't understand it. You would have to get rid of everything Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Sounds good right now, right? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering. Same suffering means you're going through it too. Which we also suffer, of whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Looking up. The consolation going to be in heaven one day. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of your trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and do deliver, in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us.
Yes,
comfort, suffering, affliction, death. Paul had great faith. Paul knew what the end was going to bring.
Yeah.
He was seeing heads being cracked with his own eyes. And sometimes it was his own head. But he continued to pick up his cross daily, just as we should. He didn't try to hide what the worldly consequences were for this gospel. You sure you want to follow this Jesus?
Amen.
Come on now.
All the way.
You sure? I'll keep going then. So Jesus said, back in 24, if any man will come after me, if you're going to go after something, it takes some effort on your part.
Come on, man.
It takes some effort. Like a cheetah chasing an antelope. He ain't just chasing them just to stretch his legs. He knows if he doesn't catch that antelope, he's going to die from starvation. He's going after it. He's going after it. Giving it all it has just to survive. If any man will come after me, you got to come after me. The apostles didn't just show up on Fifth Sunday. They didn't go home when Jesus was done talking to watch Access Hollywood or Mrs. Doubtfire. You got to want this to come after him. Zacchaeus wanted it. He did some climbing in Luke chapter 19. He went after him. He came after Jesus. He knew his career in the money collecting business was over. Over. He counted the cost of his decision and he went after Jesus anyway. He was going to rely on Jesus and not his money. He wouldn't compromise his Christianity to vote for a guy who was completely against the Bible just to save his job, like folks do every election around here. He took a stand. To follow Jesus, it takes commitment. How often do we pray? How often do we read His Word or study it? When was the last time we did something for Jesus or His church? When was the last time we truly cried out to Him for understanding when we were reading His Word? What are we committed to? Facebook. Instagram. TV. Are you willing to come after Him? Or are we more afraid? Like I said, I was following some folks. Are we more afraid? And we want to just please what other people think. We're worried about that. Back in verse 24. Let him deny himself. Jesus is demanding total commitment from them. Total commitment that may even result in their earthly death. And the Apostle Paul knew something about that. In Philippians 1:21, he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, if God allows me to live, I'll keep on preaching the gospel. But if He takes me home, it'd be better for me. No more trials, no more pain, no more suffering. He didn't say, well, I know I'm saved now, so someone hand me a sword so I could fall on it and get out of here. No. He didn't say that. He said, it ain't up to me when God takes me home. But until then, I'll be carrying this cross, and I'll be preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Come on now.
Jesus said Paul would suffer. Back in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, He said, "For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my sake." Paul obviously knew that. Paul knew that. But God didn't hand him a calendar with a countdown on it that had his last day of suffering marked out on it. Don't forget, Paul, on the 21st, you're out of here. 2 Corinthians 12:10, this is Paul again. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When he is weak, he relies on Christ, which makes him stronger. When you're weak, cry out to Jesus. Rely on Jesus. He's your strength. Hey, if it was the other way, Job would have tapped out. Jesus would have quit on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. So if you call yourself a Christian and you got no mental health issues, you're going to finish this race. You're going to finish this race on His terms. Hey, I know I want to shift gears a little bit, but I know 9/11 is coming up. 9/11 is coming up here in a week or two, a couple weeks here. Everybody remembers what happened there. I urge you to never forget. I was in the Army, and I got a lot of buddies that are getting ready to retire. Vernon was a military man. Deacon Nate, Elmer. You know, my heart goes out. You know, there's still a war going on because of that day. Okay? Yeah. Even though we don't say nothing in the news anymore, there's still stuff going on. Believe it.
Amen.
Okay? But I can't help but think of how the fire and rescue folks reacted at that moment, that very day. How they reacted when those buildings were still standing and smoking. Some of these brave men and women went into these buildings knowing they may not make it back out.
Amen. True. True.
They were committed to try and save others, putting others' lives before theirs. They followed their orders. And a lot of them paid the ultimate sacrifice. And a lot of them in our military are paying the ultimate sacrifice at this moment that I'm speaking.
Amen.
They denied themselves. The Muslims who flew the plane, on the other hand, they were following their God. Their perverted doctrine. And this is what they have read from the early translation, or what they've been taught for years. These guys weren't radical. I see this junk on PNN, the propaganda news network. They got the Sunnis and the Shiites, and oh, we're the peaceful ones, and they're radicals. No, they're not. It's the same Quran, and they're following what it says. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're following the wrong book about stop signs. But they are very regimented, and they're committed to what they believe.
Amen.
Even to kill and die for it.
Amen.
Now, this is similar to what Jesus is demanding from Christians here. It's similar. Deny our own will and do the Lord's will no matter what the consequence. Problem for them is their Lord ain't the Lord. And now they're tortured in the flames of hell. So now when you looked around again, around Jesus, and you would have saw all these thousands of people following the show and not the Savior. John 6:2, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. See, the real church is the body of the true believers.
Amen.
Not the building around them.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:19-22 says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets,
Amen.
Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also buildeth together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Jesus was on His way to the cross to die for the sins of the world, to lay down His life, His death, to save our life. Christ loves the church. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He was trying to prepare His followers for that day. For that day. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over His own house, the church, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Remember that, the end. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day approaching. At the end of verse 6, unto the end. The day approaching. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Can you see it approaching?
Yes, sir.
Now, I had the privilege over the past year and just recently to visit two of the churches that I listened to online. And church anniversary being today, seeing other churches and not just our own, and you wonder what you're going to see when you walk in there. one up in Toledo and one in Jacksonville. What I saw were small church buildings like this, full of folks that love the Lord. Folks that love hearing the true Word of God preached and taught. And old school pastors that bring it. It felt just like ours. I felt at home in these churches. And I know if they ever visited ours, they'd feel the same way. Not just because of what the pastor preaches, but because of my brothers and sisters. It was the same format with different people. Or as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. It was encouraging to meet true brothers and sisters that I felt like I knew forever. The church buildings were small like ours, which made sense, because most folks don't want to hear the true Word of God. The big entertaining churches were probably full of thousands of people. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto death, and few there be that find it. Few. Take a look around. This church has been here for 37 years. Church in Toledo and a church in Florida, you're on the right path. Christian Bible Baptist Church with the gospel, you're on the right path. So I ask you that are seeking, I ask you who are seeking, are you prepared to follow Him? The gospel will prepare you. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. There would be no churches if there was not bloodshed. If it wasn't for the blood of Christ, there would be no churches. If it was not for the apostles, blood shed to keep the church going and continue the church by preaching Christ and Him crucified, there would be no church. All that were martyred all the way up until 1977 when this place was built, until today, constantly fueled by the gospel. The gospel must continue to be preached until He says it's time to end. Preach the gospel. So Jesus is warning that this will be a trying time for the believer. A lot of folks read the paper or watch PNN. And you see what's coming for the true Christian. Man, oh man, it's coming. Now you don't even have to be a Christian and you know. You know where it's aimed. Millions of people go to church, but do they know who it is that they're following? Do they know? The gospel got to be preached, or they're following the guy or the girl on the stage right to hell. Now, I know there's a lot of churches just in Youngstown that ain't following the same Jesus that we know. Amen. What Jesus said about drinking the cup in Mark 10:38 to the apostle also applies to us today. There's been no physical persecution, like I said earlier, for us. We might get mocked here, or, you know, you're not allowed to pray at school, or you're not allowed to pray at work. But don't be surprised when we're fired, or we're arrested, or we're beaten, or we're killed for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matthew 26:31-35. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.
Amen.
Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, and here's the part we always forget, likewise also said all the disciples. So it wasn't just Peter. But the reason I bring up this scripture, and I'm on my closing, I'm closing out here. Yeah, my hour. So the reason I bring up the scripture is nowadays everybody's a Christian. Okay? And I say that sarcastically. Now the politicians, they know that the highest percentage of religious belief in the United States is alleged Christian. Okay? And that's why every one of them claims to be one. Now Peter and the boys, they were the chosen 12. Okay? And they were going to die with Jesus before they would deny him. Now, we know Peter denied him 3 times. But where were the thousands of so-called followers when it got tough? That's another example of why the miracles didn't save anyone. I know where they were at. They were the ones hurling insults and spitting. The miracles didn't save them. They had no personal relationship with Jesus. They didn't know Him because all they did was see and feel, but they didn't hear. They were more interested in entertainment or how the show made them feel. Their foundation was the show and not the Word that dwelt among them. Ironically, this type of so-called ministry houses the most people in the biggest building, or dare I say, centers today. Right now. So where were the other 11? The other apostles? Jesus closed his eyes, took a sip of the cup of wrath. Where'd everybody go? The apostles now did not have the Holy Spirit at this time. Okay? Christians today, we do. Christians today will stand with no excuse. That's why Pastor Keith always says to make sure you have the right stuff or the right foundation. Matthew 7:24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him, unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Hey, when the storms and the trials and the persecution starts coming, and that blood starts flowing, your foundation is based on what you've been following. Your foundation is based on what you've been reading, what you've been taught. Your reaction is going to come from that foundation. So how do you rely on fake tongues or for the band to strike up 5 or more songs to make you feel good when you're about to get your head cracked? It's going to be hard. But all through this Bible, He said it was going to happen. So I urge you to stay with it, church. Stay with it. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. This is not our home, believers. This is not our home. So if these storms cause you to turn and run from the cross, check your church's foundation. Check your foundation. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. With all that said, happy 37th Christian Bible Baptist.